This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 3rd, episode 1623, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. We're so happy you're here with us. Jamie, I know you didn't get to listen to Monday's show from Ada. So I had to cut this out for you because there's a whole conversation on the auditor room about a guy we had on, last guest on the show on Monday from Ada, had the best laugh in the world. So I have cut it out and made a segment out of it, but I wanted you to hear the part of the thing and how it came
okay.
about. Okay, so take a listen to this. It's the best. See, it is the best laugh in the world. You're absolutely right. All right, that's it. Interview's over. That's all we have to do right there. It's a perfect way to end the show. But you do have product too, don't you,
Derek? Yes, we do.
So that's...
Is that a guy?
It's a guy. And he's just... That's the way he laughed. That's why you found him, right, Jennifer? Was his laugh. I mean, he's just... Oh, Jennifer, you're on mute. You're not... yet.
I got chit-chatting with him, and as soon as he laughed, his two... lovely daughters who were at the show with him rolled their eyeballs, and I was hooked. That was it. Yeah.
So now we have a laugh track. I kept it short.
The guy? That's crazy.
Thanks, Graywall Tack.
And it went on like that. I mean, the whole interview, he started laughing, and then we'd all start laughing. He has that laugh where everybody laughs with him because you can't help yourself. It's just...
For a split second, I thought it was Jennifer's laugh. But then
it's
like...
close. It's close.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I liked it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that was kind of funny. So now I have a new laugh. I have a new sound file to put in there, along with, of course, George Morris's laugh, which isn't quite that exuberant.
Hey, it's George Morris. Shut it. It was amazing.
Well, you know, if you want to really hear, let's hear the difference. Okay, let's just take a listen to the two of them together, and we'll see which has the best laugh.
I kept that secret close.
I could dub that in over George Morris's laugh.
I take George. I take George forever.
That's funny. Anyway, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, Karen McColdrick is going to stop by and tell us about the latest installment of the Dressage Chronicles. And then mid-show, Uncle Jimmy is getting ambushed by a podcaster. And then tagging along behind, like the shredded tail flap of your gelding's brand new $300 turnout blanket, it's really bad ads. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I want to give Laugh Man an acknowledgement too. His name is Gary Graywall, or Gary from Graywall Equestrian Tack. So I wanted to give him a plug there, seeing we were using his laugh without his permission. I thought we'd give him a plug. So it's daily Winnie time. Well, this happy birthday goes out to one of our auditors, Doreen Rose. It was her 40th birthday yesterday, and I'm only saying that because she put it out there everywhere. It was her 40th. So happy 40th birthday, Doreen, and hope you're doing well. And also, I just want to give hugs out to Geraldine and Megan, two of our auditors, and they know why they're getting hugs from Jamie and I. So wanted to do that. And now it is your turn.
It was 1999, Glenn. 1999, the first ever time that the Atlanta Falcons had appeared in the Super Bowl. They lost 34-19 to the defending champion Denver Broncos. Let's fast forward, shall we? It's 2017. And as of this weekend, it will be the first time ever the Atlanta Falcons win the Super Bowl. Hello. Hello. Is anybody?
I wish I had Cricket's sound effect right now. Because
I got Falcons fever, baby. I mean, I don't even like football. I really don't like the NFL. I really hate watching any. I actually swore to myself that I would never, ever actually go to a game ever again. I hate football that much. However, when your city and your team and your franchise is in it, and my brother is a season ticket holder, and the excitement that my family has right now, because they're all actually fans and like love it. I am excited.
They actually
understand
the game a little more than you do.
Well, usually every time I watch the Super Bowl, I'm like, okay, game starting. All right, cool. Okay, commercials are on. Where's the Budweiser commercial? Hold on. Not this one. Okay, game's back on, everybody. Wait, commercials. Hold on. Where's the Budweiser one?
I think that's a little less fun, though, since they started putting the commercials out there ahead of time.
I don't even know. I haven't seen any of the commercials ahead of time yet. So maybe don't watch them and it'll be fun for you again.
I haven't watched them this year because of that reason.
I haven't seen anything.
Are
yeah,
you really so, looking forward to the halftime show?
Lady Gaga is really talented. I am, and I'm not like you. I have loved every halftime show. I do. I'm sorry. And when the Justin Timberlake exposed the boob of Janet Jackson, I thought it was awesome. I was not offended. It did not bother me one bit. And then when Prince had his big giant guitar that looked like a wiener, it didn't bother me at all. I don't get it. I thought Beyonce was fabulous. So Lady Gaga,
see now,
bring it, girl.
For true football fans, because you do watch the commercials, it is a chance to go get something to eat.
I know. I'm screwed. I'm going to sit through the game and through the commercials and through the halftime show. What am I going to do? Somebody's going to have to bring me a porta potty. Yeah, I'll get, you know what? Lucas has those little like pee-pee potties. I can just Here, take this.
Now, are you having a party or going to a party?
I'm going to a party. We have some Air Force friends, and it's actually his birthday, and they have kids that Lucas loves. So we're going to just go, and the kids will play outside, and we'll all get drunk, and it'll be fun. we're going to study the tactics of the Falcons and compare them to, I don't even.
Yeah, you don't.
Can't even really tell you who they're playing.
Yeah, it's that little team up there in New England.
I know. I've never heard of them. They've never really done much.
No.
They're really not that intimidating. No.
A couple of them put on all their Super Bowl rings the other day.
Oh, God.
I don't think they could pick their hands up.
Couldn't lift their arms. Screw them. They're going to go down. Who is rooting against Atlanta, though?
Everybody in New England.
Aside from that, like the rest of the country has to be cheering for the Falcons, right? Because
they are the underdogs.
First of all, Michael
this.
Vick is not on the team. So that's a reason to cheer. Right. Another reason is they're terrible. They've always been terrible.
Can we just say that since the Michael Vick went to the Eagles, they've been terrible? So there you go.
I'm telling you, It's the thing. I didn't even know he was on the Eagles. Look at you with your football knowledge.
I don't know if he is anymore. I knew that was for a while. I'm not okay. Really, you know, Dallas lost. I'm out. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about something that's coming up. And it's the first year we're eligible for this, and we need your help. So There's this thing called the American Horse Publications, which is all the journalists from the horse world get together once a year and have a meeting. And this last year was the first time I went. It was in Orlando, and I went down, and it was a lot of fun. And I'm going to go back this year. It's in Scottsdale, Arizona in June this year. So, and they've actually, we're going to do a live Horses in the Morning show from the AHP conference with all kinds of guests, journalists and things, most of them that we know and have had on the shows over the various years. But we're going to do that live in front of an audience at the show or at the conference. And they do this award show where they give awards for the best publication, the best articles and things like that.
It's like the publication Oscars.
Yes, that's right. It's the closest we get in the horse world. That's for sure. So, and you know, last 2 years, one of the publications that we deal with, Driving Digest, has won it for one year. They won the big award for best publication. So we know these people, and we work with them, and they come on our shows, and it's a lot of fun to see them win awards. But we've never had the opportunity to because they never had a category we fit. Now, this year, they've actually made a podcast category, I think just for us, because I don't know anybody else. So they've made a podcast category, and we have to submit episodes. So if you have, now this has to be from the year 2016 and one episode, not a combination of episodes. So if you have one episode that you really liked on Horses in the Morning in that you think best represents us, then you put it on our Facebook page. Just go to our Facebook page and post which episode that you like the best. We want suggestions, and then we're going to go through and pick the one that we'll submit. I can only pick one.
You don't edit it down, and, nope. And this is not one from every show. It's like one episode.
One episode is what we're allowed to submit. So I can't put like a mixtape together.
Who's our competition? Us?
Well, I'm going to submit for dressage, and I'm going to submit probably a stable scoop. I'm only limited to a certain number I could submit, which I have to look up. I don't know. It's a couple. So, but I do want to submit one from Horses in the Morning. I mean, Radiothon has been suggested, and I might submit Radiothon as a whole thing because we did record it in one shot. I did ask if I could submit that as one shot. But you know what? The judges are not going to listen to that. I'd have to give them a suggestion. Okay, listen here, listen here.
You didn't listen to all of it.
I did because I was on it the whole time. But so we want you to post it on our Facebook page and give us some ideas. Did you ever win an award when you were in radio?
Oh my gosh, I won the Academy Award of Atlanta Radio. It's the AIR Awards, which is stands for Achievement in Radio. And you're talking currently to the 2002 Best Traffic Reporter. Boom!
There's an award for that?
A big deal, Glenn. And I'll tell you what, in 2002, he wasn't quite as famous. Well, he was, but then he wasn't, and then now he is. But I really would like to thank Jeff Foxworthy for presenting me with that award. It was kind of a big deal.
Jeff Foxworthy, really?
I love him.
I do too. I love. Is he like nice off air too? Like off stage?
It's one of my favorite people on the planet.
Really?
You want the story?
Yes.
Here's the story. So I am sitting in the audience. They're about to announce Best Traffic Reporter Jeff Foxworthy.
Before you tell the story, one quick thing. Apparently, the live feed people are not hearing us. So for those that are, maybe, I don't know, I'm going to drop the live feed and restart it while you're telling the story. Okay, go ahead.
All right, nobody needs to hear it anyway. But I'm in the audience. They announce the Best Traffic Reporter, and it's a tie. And it's a tie between Captain Herb Emery, the late, great Captain Herb Emery, and myself. So Captain Herb goes up and accepts his award. And then I come up, and I'm wearing this little black number that I've just picked out of the closet. Go across the stage, accept my award, thank a couple people. And Jeff Foxworthy walks back out on the stage, and he's like, "Hey, y'all, I don't know about you, but that ain't no tie." And there began my friendship with Jeff Foxworthy. I love him so much. And after that, I was promoted and I became not just a traffic reporter anymore. I actually got a real job on the real radio. So it was great. So anyway, there you go. There's my Jeff Foxworthy story. And he...
Well, you owe all your success awesome. To being here on the top rated horse show in the world.
I mean, I have moved Jeff up in Foxworthy. This world, Glenn. I have moved up in this world, and I just want you to know that this is an opportunity. How long have we been doing this show? 7 years now?
We're under 7 years, yeah.
So this is the longest radio job that I've had by far. Okay, so I appreciate still being here. And with that, we actually have a guest on who I have known since I was, oh my gosh, how old was I? 8 years old? 8 years. So I met when I was probably
something
8 years
like that.
Old. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi, Karen.
Karen
McGoldrick. It is so wonderful to talk to you. We talked to you again a while ago. It was 2011. We looked it up. And so we're going to
That was after the first book came out.
Yes. And so Karen is an author, amongst other things that we will get into. But Karen McGoldrick is dressage at this point. She's the dressage in the U.S. She is Alisa Wallace's coach. She is a dressage diva.
I didn't know
dressage
that.
Queen.
You're Alisa's coach? I didn't know that.
She is, yeah.
Wow, where's my tiara?
I'll send you one, all right?
You have one. You know you have one. So she's also an author, and her books are the Dressage Chronicles. So start with that. Tell us about the Dressage Chronicles.
It was going to be a one-off. I wanted to write a book about dressage that was fun to read, where you actually would learn something about the world, the life, the daily grind. That was realistic because, first of all, so many novels that have horses in them are just absurd. And secondly, I didn't want to write a how-to manual because there are way better people than me, trainers, riders, instructors who have wonderful books out there. So I just thought, and I'll tell you what, I had read a couple books over the years that got close to doing that, but were nonfiction memoirs and things that are just, you know, I read repeatedly. I mean, so I thought I'm going to do something with fiction. So, but when I started, the thing just took over. It sort of got a life of its own and it said, this is not one book. So I just, this month on the 21st, the fourth book in the series comes out. And at this point I just had to end it. You know, I mean, of course my characters' lives will live on, I suppose, in everybody's imagination, what they did next. But, there are other things I want to do and other books I want to write. So, I brought the Dressage Chronicles to a conclusion. However, I think the next thing for the Dressage Chronicles is to have them put on audio books. So that's the next Dressage Chronicles
Jamie's
project.
Jamie's really good at reading
Lizzie
books.
And my friend.
Jamie's really good at reading books.
I would be happy to.
Well, Deeds Publishing is taking auditions and there's a website on Amazon called ACX or whatever, where you can put your audition tape.
Oh, well,
so that's the next big thing. Yeah, do it, Jamie, go. Go, girl.
That's great. That's so exciting.
Yes.
So you're wrapping it up. I mean, the fourth book.
I really did. I sat down. It took me 3 years to write what I thought was the last book. But when I handed it in to the publisher, they said, girl, this is, you just handed us War and Peace. It's like 1,100 pages. So this has got to be two books. So I'm like, okay. You know, it's like, what is the old Lewis Carroll quote from Alice in Wonderland? Start at the beginning, keep going, and when you get to the end, stop. So that was just, I kept going until I got to the end, and then I stopped.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you had to at some point. And so what are some of the other books that you would like to write?
Well, just from my peeps out there, I promise it will have plenty of horses in it, but I have started a book I'm very excited about. That's probably going to land hopefully in more of the mainstream so that I can actually sell enough of them to feel like this is financially rewarding. So far, this has not made me rich or famous or any of those things.
But it will
have horses. I'm on Horses in the Morning, man. I've made it. but regardless, I hope that this one will be, you know, for some reason, when you put dressage in the title of your book, you kind of limit your audience. Mm-hmm. But the next one is going to be a little bit of a, I guess you call it fantasy plus historical fiction. I'm going to have a story within a story about somebody who is wrapped up in reading to the extent that reading has become her fantasy life in her books is become more real to her than her real life.
Like a little never-ending story type thing?
Yes, yes. People have said that to me. The working title is Eloise Robertson, Extreme Reader. She's an extreme reader. So I'm classing this group of people that it's named after the website that she goes to and does book reviews on and yaks with other extreme readers. So
that's cool.
Anyway, I'm having fun with that. Yeah.
That's great. Well,
and so a lot of the story takes place in the book in colonial Virginia. So I'm having fun with that. But it has lots of horses in it. I promise everybody it's going to have lots of horses, colonial era horses.
That means we get to have you on again to talk about it because it has horses in it.
Oh, so good.
Promote it. Perfect. Now, yes. I was looking through your bio here. And
yes.
Like I said, Karen and I go way back because Karen was the working. Were you the working student?
Hey, Jamie.
Hey,
hold on one second, guys. The live feed just came back up, so why don't you reintroduce her real quick?
Sounds good. This will all be in the recording, so if you missed the first half of this, you can go back and listen.
Yep.
This is Karen McGoldrick, the author of the Dressage Chronicles. And I was about to say that Karen and I actually do go way back. Karen is also Elisa Wallace's coach, Elisa Wallace, friend of the show, and my Mustang guru. But Karen and I go way back. And I was trying to think, our coach, my first actual trainer, my mom just like stepped it up and went all the way to the top to get me a dressage trainer. And her name was Kay Smarslick, and she was an absolutely incredible woman and rider and German just goddess of dressage. And Karen, were you her working student?
Well, the way it transpired is I had been a working student for Sue Malone Casey up in Alpharetta, and I worked for Sue until she and her husband were transferred to Texas, and then I thought that I was going to be working for Susanna Hopman, who is now Susanna Miesner in Germany, a German lady who had a big import business out here in Alpharetta, but she and her husband got divorced and she moved back to Germany. And so then Kay hired me to work for her. And in that capacity, I was, you know, initially there to help her tack up her school horses, lunge her students, you know, fill in for her when she was gone. She traveled quite a bit, if you remember. And one of the things that Kay did is she took tours to Europe where she would sell them Holsteiner horses. Well, all the Holsteiner horses she was selling them were at the three-year-old and training sale in the fall. So then these three-year-olds would be coming four-year-olds would be shipped back to Little Creek where, you know, people like me and there was a succession of me's who then rode these four-year-old horses that had just come through the auction until their owners could be safely put on them. And then I kind of morphed into teaching those people because Kay really had a system. She had, Tuesday through Friday. She had a new person on a horse every 30 minutes. I don't know if you remember this. She would teach up to 18 lessons a day on her school horses.
I recall because I was one of those students who had 30 minutes. Yeah. You had 30 minutes and it was $20 for 30 minutes. And I remember my mom going, all right, well, we better start the clock because this is like, you have 30 minutes.
And so the horses had to be packed up and ready to go. And then Kay never held the lunge line for the seat lessons. She always had somebody like moi holding the line. I mean, I can't tell you how boring that is to be holding the lunge line hour after hour. So we had it like bullet rapid fire, but you know, that was her business
did
model.
How do you talk after 18 lessons in a day? Did she have it on recording and just hit play for each half hour?
She sat in the corner of the ring on a swivel chair and never stopped with her cup of coffee. And I mean, really, one of the things that I did when I first got there was I cleaned that coffee pot because I don't think Kay had cleaned that coffee pot in years. I mean, it was disgusting. I was like, oh my God, you drink this stuff? So Kay loved me because I was the white tornado. I mean, the one thing you can never accuse me of being is low energy.
No,
so,
and
I mean,
let me
love the fact.
I don't. If you wanted to find Karen somewhere, she was cleaning tech, always cleaning tech.
I'm a tech. Well, that comes from Sweetbriar College. You know, when I was a student at Sweetbriar, my student job was to clean tech. So I clean tech every day at Sweetbriar College to help play through my riding, and once a week, I took everything apart, scrubbed the bits, but. So, I mean, that comes from, and even when I went to work for Sue Casey, it was like, oh my God, my tack looks great. My tack room looks great. Clorox the sinks. I'm a kind of a, you know, when I feel like being the white tornado, watch out world, right? You know, I'm coming through and everything's getting scrubbed. So,
well, and it's
that
worked
comes from
well.
Years of training.
And well, you worked for Kay. You worked for Kay. You went up through the rankings. And just to you guys know that Karen is a certified instructor trainer, and she has earned her bronze, silver, and gold medal rider awards. And they're all on horses that
all on
she
horses
trained.
I took from the babies. Yeah. I've always started my own. I mean, the last two horses I bought as 4-year-olds, but prior to that, like Mandamus, I was there when he was born, and Bodacious, my little quarter horse, which got me all in this whole dressage thing, was 2 when I bought him. So, I mean, I'm grassroots, taken from the beginning. You know, who has money?
I know that you have seen on Facebook my little filly, and before we let you go, because we're running out of time. I want any advice that you can give me for my future Grand Prix Dressage Rolex filly.
You know, you've been around the block. You know what you're doing. I don't think there's any advice I can give you, Jamie. You cannot see the future. Here's my heartfelt advice. Okay. You make a commitment. You make a commitment to that filly. And I always say my commitment to you is that that I will see you through all that is ahead of us. And I always say I want to make sure my horses that I leave something when I'm done and ready to sell it or whatever, that I've created something of value so that you never, here go my dog, so that you never end on the junk heap of horsedom, you know, that I make sure that horse has value so that somebody will take care of it and love it and ride it when perhaps I cannot. So that's my only advice. Be committed. Make a commitment.
You know, I don't think that's a problem. She is like obsessed. does it go from commitment to obsessed? Is that the next level?
We are all obsessed. Oh my God, I'm totally obsessed.
It is.
I just turned 60, and you know, I'm out there riding my horse. I'm training my newest project. You know, I'm out there riding her, and I'm thinking, Karen, you're getting better at this. I'm 60. I'm like, I'm gonna be better.
Amen, sister. We never quit. We're all obsessed, and I do appreciate that advice. I feel that way about every horse that I sit on. Is an educated horse has a better life than an uneducated one, and it's
absolutely
our job when you take that horse into your barn to to make it a better educated, better, and more intelligent. It'll have a better life if you put your hands on it and improve it. So that's wonderful advice. And I certainly did make that commitment when I picked out the stallion and bred the mare and watched her be born. And now she's mine forever. So it's not
it is the experience that nobody can tell you how deep and long and up and down and wonderful the whole thing is. I mean, I just can't imagine my life without it. That's all I can say.
Karen McGoldrick of the Dressage Chronicles. Yep. You can find them all on Amazon.com. And eventually you'll hear me reading the audiobooks. How about
that? That would be wonderful.
All right, Karen, thank you so much. Do you have a website?
I'm all over Facebook, but I have to tell you, if you want to talk about the Dressage Chronicles, go on Facebook to the Dressage Chronicles. So you don't have to submit yourself to my other ramblings and rants, which on my personal page, unless you want to hear my personal ramblings and rants. But I have the Dressage Chronicles on Facebook and I'm there every day checking it.
All right. Wonderful. Karen McGoldrick. Thank you so much, Karen. We'll talk to you again when the next book comes out.
All right. Bye.
Yay. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. She makes me feel like I have no energy at all.
She's nonstop, dude. It's crazy. Like, I'm seriously, that woman was always, I'm a kid, okay? And she would lunge, and then when she was done with that, she was cleaning tack, and then she was cleaning something else. She is the epitome of, like, the busy dressage rider who, like, and I've been to her barn up in Alpharetta, and it is pristine.
I bet. That's pristine. What I picture.
And
like,
she does
everything.
It herself.
Like, the walls are dusted. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Without it, there's not a cobweb in the play. I mean, my God, there would never be a cobweb. You know, I mean, it's just a beautiful facility. Awesome.
Well, we have one of our favorite guests who comes on periodically. He's a sponsor of ours, but we never usually end up talking about much about that. We have Uncle Jimmy coming up, and we'll be right back after this word from Kentucky Performance Products. And okay, I've been asked to do this warning. This is one of their love stories, so get your tissues out.
Oh, God.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Also, be sure to follow Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook. You will find them there. They are always posting all kinds of good nutritional stuff over there as well. I just wanted to remind you, too, that we have two new shows that came out recently. The Plaidcast, all about the hunter-jumper world. It's a weekly show. It is now on our app and also iTunes and the website at Horse Radio Network. You'll find it everywhere. And the other show is Samantha and I restarted the 2018 WEG show about the World Equestrian Games coming up next year. We're doing that twice a month. We have two episodes out. The last episode was the eventing episode, and you're going to want to take a listen to who we picked as our spotlight rider for the next 18 months in the sport of eventing. So check that out. Next episode coming out, we record next week, is all about driving. So we'll be taking a look at the sport of driving. We're kind of going to go through all eight of them, and then we're giving you the 101 on all of them. So if you want to learn a little bit about all the sports at the World Equestrian Games, this is a terrific way to do it. And we want to thank Kentucky Performance Products for being our title sponsor on the World Equestrian Games show as well. Thank you, Karen, for your support. We do appreciate it. Now, we are getting talking about sponsors. We have one of our most fun sponsors coming up next. You know him for his hanging balls. You know him for his squeezy buns. You know him for his licky things and his pecker wreckers. You know him as Uncle Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
Hello, Glenn. How are you doing? And thank you for the introduction.
Yes, you can count on me, Uncle Jimmy. I'm just there for you all the time. All the time.
You know, so how are you doing?
I got to tell you. I got to tell you, Uncle Jimmy. People don't believe me when I go to podcasting conferences and I tell them, let me tell you about one of our sponsors. You know, we talk about his hanging balls. We talk about his licky things. We talk about his pecker record. That's right. And they are all looking at me going, how do you get away with that on a PG show? And I have to explain to them how we do that. So your marketing when you started this was brilliant, buddy. And it's also radio gold.
Very good.
It's also radio gold, I got to tell you. It's really good. Well, you know, Jimmy.
I just
wanted to say to you that I had, on a serious note, this is the last minute that this will be serious, but Sandy, one of our listeners, posted this morning, let Uncle Jimmy know that his big licky was a godsend this week. My guy was caked with dry cement like clay mud and needed hours of work on the cross ties. I hung up a big licky in front of him, and it kept my boy entertained while I chipped away at the dirt. And she posted a picture. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad I'm good for something.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. Well, Uncle Jimmy, you know what I heard that you're good for? I heard a rumor the other day that you are really good at entertaining the ladies on long flights, especially from Europe. That's what I heard. And you know what? I heard that from somebody named Heather. Do you remember Heather?
Yes, I do. That was a really funny thing. I was standing there in Brussels, and it's very noisy, and there's all these people ready to get on the airplane, and I have somebody tapping me on the shoulder saying, you know, something about shooting and whatever, and I looked at her, and it was like, you know, how do I know this lady? And I didn't. And with all the noise, it was hard, but I heard her say something about podcasting, and I said, podcasting. Do you know Glenn the Geek? And she lets out this scream and she goes, yes, I know. How do you know him? And I went through the whole story with her. But we had a very nice ride home and we sat and talked back and forth all the time. But yeah, she said, you know, I said, so when you talk to him, tell him I said, hey.
Well, let's find out if Heather has the same story. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Is that how you remember it,
Heather? How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I just finally recouped from that ride home, you know. Oh, so
Did you guys drink too much?
Yeah.
No, we were good. We were good kids.
Yeah. Now, Uncle Jimmy did not know Heather was going to be on
here. That's a different story.
Yep. Now, Heather, is that how you remember that story? Or you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think one of the things I said was I didn't know that there were cowboys in Pittsburgh because I grew up in the West. So I was surprised to see the back of his jacket, his Steel Town jacket. And that's what started us.
Did
it was
he
great.
Tell you about his hanging balls right away, or did he wait till later in the flight?
He kind of eased into it. We talked a little bit about target shooting off of horseback and how you do it, and the reasons why you wouldn't want to shoot live ammunition into the middle of a ring, and all sorts of really interesting stuff. And then he hit me with the hanging balls.
Yeah. That's a good pun. That was a good pun there, Heather.
Thank you.
Jimmy's just over there going, why did I
had
even
a little problem. I had a little problem, Heather, when I went through security. Not security, but coming into the country.
Oh, customs?
And the customs, yeah. The lady talked to me and asked me what I was doing, and I immediately say, well, ma'am, I'm glad you asked, and I go through my thing about hanging balls and everything, and they finally roll their eyes and say, okay, go. And I started to go, and the other custom agent said, wait a minute.
Ooh.
And I looked over, and you know, he looked at me, and he goes, are you armed? And I said, well, no, sir, not now. I will be in a little bit, but
give me
not
time
while I'm going through customs. And it was the jacket.
Yeah. I'll be damned. So he saw the back
of it. Shooting. He said, "Are you armed?" I said, "No." But yeah, I guess he got a little concerned when he saw that thing. So I don't know.
Well, you know, first of all, Jimmy, let me say in my travel experience that customs officers love jokes. They love it when people are funny. They love spending time talking to people and just getting to know each other. And they also love people with guns. So, you know, you were just like a total touchdown there, dude.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that you're 6'3 and wearing a big black cowboy hat. Yeah.
Hey, Uncle Jimmy, did you hear that Jamie's husband is now an official commercial airline pilot?
No, I did not.
Tell him.
He probably won't be flying you to Brussels anytime soon, but he'll take you to Milwaukee.
All right, then.
He's with what, American, great. Right?
Yeah, he just got hired about 9 months ago by American Airlines. So,
my cousin's a pilot for American, too.
Excellent. Well,
maybe they'll work with the family.
Yeah, very cool.
Congrats.
Congratulations. That is a big, big step.
Yeah.
That's not a very big step in his career.
Although
I know you know all about it.
Although it's a little more boring than the F-16s. Yeah, I gotta believe they're not doing many rolls and dives, in the jet.
You know, I asked him about that and he said you could do it once.
You can always it's like I always say, you can shoot off any horse at least once.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey Jimmy, we're actually gonna keep Heather on here for a bit to learn about her podcast and everything. What's new over at before you go, what's new over at Uncle Jimmy's?
Well, we got into this brand new building, Glenn. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. We have new machinery coming. We're going to be hopefully automated completely by the end of the year. We have a new product. Dover Saddlery has been on my case for 2 years to make this, and I wasn't really sure if I should do it or not, but I made Uncle Jimmy's Grand Mash. And the good thing about it has chia seeds and ground flaxseed in it and so forth, all the good stuff for the omega-3. I wasn't sure on how it would go, and I went over to England for the British Western Trade Show, and they were very up on it. They really were excited about it. So hopefully it'll do well for me.
Terrific. Well, good luck with that. And is it out now? I mean, is it available now?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it is.
Can I put an order in?
Starting to pick up.
This is cool. This is great stuff. It comes in these little bags, and what do you just put? You soak it for a while, and
Put 5 cups of hot water in it. Let it soak for a little bit. Mix it real well, and give it to them. I've been giving because I run my horse all winter, so I've been doing it once a week. As an added feature. So. I will send you all some.
Nigel wants
How's
some.
That?
Nigel desperately wants some. Yes, for traveling.
Right.
Yeah.
Reading the ingredients: wheat bran, rolled oats, beet pulp, alfalfa, flaxseed, chia seed, dehydrated apples. In this one, beet molasses. Oh my gosh, this is delicious awesomeness. I might try it myself.
Sounds, right, grind it up and make some bread or muffins or something. That sounds great.
Put some vodka in it.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Yeah, a couple of strawberries, a little milk, you'll be fine.
Hey, also, Uncle Jimmy, while you're sending us a package, a Scooter really is out of squeezy buns. So could you throw
go to the damn store and just buy them?
Throw a
don't
few of those
send
in there,
anything.
Too. Scooter would appreciate it.
I'll send it all down to you. How's that?
Don't you send him a thing. Make him go buy it.
Thank you, Uncle Jimmy, for your support all these years. It was so funny when I got that email the other day, and it was like, I tried to talk to Uncle Jimmy about advertising. I said, well, he's been doing that for about 8 years. So,
yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Well, guys, thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you.
And Heather, it was nice meeting you and talking to you again, and we'll see you all later.
It was great to hear your voice again. Take care.
All right. Bye, Jimmy.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
We have had more fun at Uncle Jimmy's expense over the years than anybody on the show. So.
he is a hoot.
He's great. I did meet my husband on an airplane. So are you married? I mean, what's the deal?
No, I am. I have a husband, and I have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, all boys.
Oh, never mind.
No, it's good. It's good. We are all goofballs, so that works out real well.
Well, thank you for helping us surprise Uncle Jimmy with that. We really appreciate it. And boy, your sound is terrific. You sound like a podcaster.
Isn't that the funniest thing?
Yeah, it is. You've been doing this longer than us, and I thought we'd been doing it a long time.
I know. I feel every so often I feel the age, but no, it's been, this will be, April is our 11th, the beginning of our 11th year, or the end of our 11th year.
You truly were doing it when nobody knew how to listen or could.
Yep. Back in the day when people had to actually know how to get an RSS feed, put it into a podcatcher and download it onto their iRiver.
I don't know what you just said. I don't even know.
Jamie's See? Not even old enough to know what that is.
You baby.
So tell us about your podcast, because I think our listeners will love it. Jamie read, by the way, I have to preface this with, Jamie made me suffer through Black Beauty, reading it like one page every day.
No, I read it. Yeah, I read like a chapter, a couple pages every day, and it was a huge hit. It was a massive success on the show, and I want to do it again, and I want to do it with other books. And he keeps saying, you can't do that. Will you do it? How do you do it? Talk to me.
I do it. It actually kind of started probably the same way that you started going with the Black Beauty thing. Was I grew up and I liked listening to people read to me, and I was lucky enough to be surrounded by people who are actually pretty good at reading out loud, so that helped too. But storytelling is one of those things, and right after 9/11, I was still teaching high school in New York City, and I lasted another 2 years. We were one of the schools that was evacuated, and then I kind of fell back and stayed at home with my second son, and I really missed talking about books. But the other thing that had happened was after 9/11, one of the things that happened in New York City was a lot of people started knitting, and it's really, really hard to hold a book when you're knitting. And the knitting is a very calming thing, much like gardening or throwing pottery or riding horses. That's the kind of the mental release, the stress release. Mm-hmm. But all of these things are very hard to hold books while you're doing it. So I thought, ooh, wouldn't it be great if I did what I did in the high school classroom, where I give people the background information that they need to be able to enjoy the books, but then I also play the audio of the chapter for that week. So we go chapter by chapter, kind of the way Dickens used to release his books in the magazines. We'll go chapter by chapter through the books. And there's some crafty chat at the beginning, usually. And then I lead into the book. We listen to the chapter and I lead out. And now I have a call-in line, which is great because now people can call in and disagree with me or add to the conversation, which makes it more like a book club. So it's the last, I think, 2 years, we've really... it's really expanded our community base, and between that and Facebook pages, and then there's a site called Ravelry for Knitters, which is kind of like a knitter's Facebook. There are conversations going over in the chat room over there. So people get a chance to have a community of people who love books, who love doing their thing, whatever their thing is. And it's absolutely international. We have people on every continent. And for a while, we had someone who was in Antarctica. They aren't there anymore, but...
They moved out.
They did. I think they did their six and they got, and was like, want to go see.
Well, I'm looking through craftlit.com and I've noticed that you read Jane Austen. Oh, I can't wait to hear you read Sense and Sensibility. It's one of my favorite books.
Oh, I'm so glad you like that. Turned out to be a lot more interesting than I thought, because it was her first book and she was making some pretty big political statements that totally went over my head the first time I read it.
Oh, really? Okay, well, good. That'll be fun to hear you and your take on it. So how can you find Craft Lit?
Craft Lit is everywhere your local podcasts are. We are on iTunes, at Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio. We have our own website, craftlit.com. And if you have a smart device, you can download the Craftlit app and you can get everything delivered to you right there. Yep.
Hey,
it makes life so much easier, like the Horse News Network app, which I have.
Now, Heather, before you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to let go of her. I have a question.
I know. I'm going to ask your question in a different way. So please tell Jamie that she just can't go reading any book she wants to read about horses on the air. This is what I've been trying to explain to her.
Oh, yeah, there are bad things that can happen if you pick books that are still under copyright.
And that's what, I'm not an idiot, Glenn. I'm not going to go read the Dressage Chronicles on the show and get in trouble. However,
yep.
What year can I go? I want to read Marguerite Henry books on the air. And about 1945 is when her kind of bigger, when she kind of started. Is that too?
It's too soon? Recent. And I'll tell you how I know that. Over the 10 years, when we first started, I wanted to do Fitzgerald. I wanted to do The Great Gatsby. I wanted to do some Hemingway stories. And they were still under copyright. But within the last 2 years, they've just started coming into the public domain. So that's 1926.
How do you find that?
I use two sources that are much easier than finding anything by searching Google. One is where I get my audio from most of the time, which is LibriVox.org. It's LibriVox, V as in Victor, O-X. So free voice in Latin. LibriVox.org is a site where people voluntarily read and upload the audio of books that are in the public domain. If the book isn't on there and it's not on Gutenberg.com, then it's not in the public domain. Because as soon as stuff gets into the public domain, somebody records it or somebody puts it up on Gutenberg.
Okay. So Gutenberg's probably one of the best places to go.
Yep. Yeah, and I was trying.
But does Gutenberg have an affinity for equine stories?
You know, I think that is an excellent
but
question.
Then
I'll tell you.
If you think about it, any book from the 1800s is going to have a horse in it.
Yes, it is. And that was what I was thinking, is they show up. Not only do they show up, but really, and I've been driving myself crazy trying to remember which books I wound up having to research this in. But there were several different strains of North African horses that played a part in one of the books that we read, and I wound up having to do all this research on the horses. But there's also the fourth book of Gulliver's Travels, which is all horse. It's the Houyhnhnms. And they're the smart ones. Everybody else is a yahoo. Everybody else is an idiot. But the horses, that's the perfect society, according to
What I'm getting here, Glenn, is that, yes, I cannot read Marguerite Henry because they're in the 40s. However, what I can read is Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. That was 1813, and I am starting tomorrow.
Well, yeah. and we'll be here for the next 10 years. Right.
Yeah, we've got 25 classic lit books in our library right now after 10, almost 11 years.
I like the Gulliver's Travels, the last one there with the horses. That could be a fun one because I don't think, you know, not many people are going to read it in our audience, and that could be a fun one to read.
Yeah, I had no idea. I hadn't read it before either until we started it. And I take requests. There are lots of books that we've done that were I'd never read before, and I had to do the research on them. We're about to start 1984 as an extra project right now, and we're about halfway through, maybe two-thirds of the way through The Count of Monte Cristo, which has been fascinating. It's so not what I expected. And Alexandre Dumas advertises himself all over the book. Like, he'll say, well, you know, I was reading in Count of Monte Cristo's saying, well, I went to this arts show, or I went and I bought this book, translated by Alexandre Dumas, and he sells himself all over the book. It's like, wow, this is so meta. This is so something that would happen now, and it was written in 1838.
So social media. Yeah.
Right? It really was. It's very funny. There are all
sorts. Oh my gosh, there's so many horse books I can read. I just searched on LibriVox.org. Oh my God, you're in such trouble. Mark Twain, A Horse's Tale, The Horseshoe, The Headless Horseman, Coley Bay, The Outlaw Horse, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, My Horses, The Horseback Ride, The Horsey Name, One Horse Open Flay, The Broken
doomed.
Horse, The Horse That Aroused the Town, Black Beauty, The Autobiography of a Horse, The Old Rocking Horse, High Horse Rampage, Ballad of the White Horse.
You're going to have to read for us. There is no question. question. We did the Headless Horseman back in 2007, I think. But the there are lots of horse stories there that if you read, we'll put your audio on Craftlet.
Well, I was going to say, Glenn, you should just branch out, and we're going to have our own channel, a new show on the Horse Radio Network called
There you go.
Reading called the Horse Books from History.
Jamie's Chronicles.
Horse Books in History.
The Chronicles of Jamie. Well, thank you so much, Heather, for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. You have a great voice. I can see why you're reading books, because you have a terrific voice, and your setup is great there, by the way. AR-2100? Just have to ask. Okay, just had to ask. A little podcast talk there.
I am your voice. I can't wait to hear you read. I'm going to listen now. There is a book, Glenn, I want you to know that we can start reading. It's called White Dandy, A Horse's Story. And it is in parentheses on the title, a companion book to Black Beauty.
Oh, yes! My God. Oh, geez.
Sweet.
You know, it did give me bathroom breaks during the show, Heather. I was able to go to the bathroom, take my time, get some breakfast. I was able to take long breaks while she read that book. I don't know. That was one of my least
so
favorite
much.
Books of all time. Thanks, Heather. It's craftlit.com is where you can find it. You're terrific. Well, I see you at PodFest, by the way.
No, I can't make it this year. Bummer. Are you going to come up to Mid-Atlantic, Podcast Mid-Atlantic?
He wants me to come up next year, so I'll try and get up for that.
Okay, that'll be good. All right. See you then.
Thanks, Heather.
You bet. Thank you. Terrific. And thanks for bringing Jimmy on. That was fun.
It was fun to ambush him. Yeah. See you later.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
Craftlit.com. I'm hooked.
She's terrific, isn't she? She's fun.
Yes, her voice is amazing. I never got to ask, because if you recall, at the very end of Black Beauty, I started to get a little choked up, cry a little bit, because it was so emotional. I mean, oh my God, the horse. I'm not going to ruin it for those who haven't read it. And if you haven't read it, shame on you. But I got a little teary-eyed, and I wanted to know if she ever cried while reading a book, but you hung up on her.
I hung up on
her
too soon. Yeah. I was not crying at the end of Black Beauty. I think I was cheering and jumping up and down that it was over.
Watch your mouth. You watch your mouth.
All right. You get to pick out the next book. The listeners have been requesting, and I know the auditors really want you to read another book. So you better hop to it and find one of these books that you can still get the print from and pick one here that you can just torment the audience with.
There are so many horse books on LibriVox.
And I'm going to check out the Gulliver's Travels one. I'm going to check out the Gulliver's Travels one because that sounded like fun. A society of horses that are the smartest things there. So I'll check that one out. You check out some squishy book like Black Beauty. Speaking
the son
of authors,
of the gods and a horseman in the sky in 1842.
Speaking of authors, we're going to go. We've had a day of authors here. We've had three authors on, and Uncle Jimmy. I don't think he counts in that vein. But we have Jaden Terrell with us, and she is here. She won. Is going to help us pick the winners from last month's Really Bad Ads. And she is also here because she is offering a prize up for this month's Really Bad Ads. And we're going to get to her.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week when we do Really Bad Ads, everybody's favorite time of the week. And we have author Jaden Terrell on with us. I know she's a friend of Lisa Wysocki, of course, hosts this show on occasions. Good morning, Jaden.
Good morning. And Lisa said for me to tell you hello, so... Well, I'm thinking about you right now.
Well, Lisa's going to be on filling in for me later in the month for a couple days working with Jamie. So that'll be a lot of fun. She's always terrific. Jaden, you were kind enough to offer some prizes out for this month's Really Bad Ads. Tell us one about your book. That's the big thing.
The book is called A Taste of Blood and Ashes, and it's centered around the Tennessee Walking Horse Soaring controversy. Which has been in the news quite a bit lately.
Yeah, we've talked about quite a bit.
It's the fourth one in a series about a character named Jared McKean, and Jared is a former homicide detective. He's 36, and he's kind of a horse whisperer. He He has a 36-year-old Palomino quarter horse who is based on my horse, Pete, that we talked about last time I was on. And I've always wanted to write about this topic, and this book just seemed to be the right time for it.
So I assume this is not a comedy.
No, it's not a comedy. There are, I always write a few humorous things in the books more by accident because I'm always only funny when I don't mean to be. But people tend to deal with dark things with humor. And so there's some humor in the books, but no, they're not light books.
Gotcha.
Book three is about human trafficking. So I do all the really light subjects.
Yeah. You did take on the big ones. You know, I'm kind of glad you're taking on this one because obviously, and it's timely, you know, we're talking about it right now. So it's very timely. So it's a book called A Taste of Blood and Ashes by Jaden Terrell. You can find that at most major places, Amazon and all the usual spots, or is there a place you want people to go to find it?
Yeah, well, Amazon is always good. Barnes & Noble is always good. There's a wonderful little independent bookstore in Nashville that usually carries them. That's called Parnassus Books, Ann Padgett's bookstore out in Green Hills. So indies can usually order them, but they actually usually have some on stock.
All right, good. So
any of the above.
And we'll put a link to that, to the Amazon, in our show notes as well. Now, you're giving away some other stuff as part of this package, too. Tell us about that.
Yes, there's a fleece throw. It has it's brownish with white, and it's got this beautiful paint horse on it. And then a horse journal, which has a watercolor of a horse on the front. And then this lovely little silver, it's a heart-shaped necklace where the heart is made into the picture of a horse. And then an autographed copy of the book.
I got it correct.
On this horse thing buying spree. Yes.
Well, that horse necklace, it's actually a heart, and it's a mare and a foal together that form the heart. And I am wearing that necklace right now. That exact necklace.
I love that necklace. Every time I see it, I think I've got to have that necklace.
My husband bought it for me when we decided to have a foal for, I think it was Valentine's Day last year. He gave it to me. Oh, it's so beautiful. I love it. And wow. I'm wearing it right now. And I saw the picture and I was like, oh my God, I'm wearing that right now.
Wow. There's a little serendipity there.
Yeah.
I know, right?
But it's so beautiful. Yeah. And I kind of got on this wild spree because Glenn had said, well, we can give away a copy of the book on the show. And I thought, you know what would be really cool is if I found all this horse stuff. And I just went through and I found all these things and I thought, oh, that's beautiful. Yes, horsey prize package, just to kind of sweeten the pot.
Well, it's Jaden Terrell also on with JadenTerrell.com, right? Isn't that the website?
Yes.
Okay. That's right. And we'll have a link to that as well, because you've written several books and they're all listed there on the website. Will you help us before you go do something for us? By the way, thank you for the prize. We'll be talking about that all week. But we have to pick the winners for last month before we get into the ads for today. And Jennifer, the first prize is the Handy Camel, right?
The Handy Camel is that gadget you never knew you needed until you had it. It's a giant clip chip kicked up on steroids for large packages that you need to drag around your farm, barn, or home, or need to keep sealed tight so that small children, no names here, can't get into them.
Or chickens.
Or scooters.
Chickens.
Yes,
chicken proof.
Yeah.
Or rats and mice or whatever. Whatever you have in your barn, these handy camels are really cool. Really cool. So, all right, it's thehandycamel.com is where you can find that. We need to pick a winner for the Handy Camel, and Jennifer's going to give you some numbers to pick from. What do you have, Jennifer?
Between 1 and 210.
138.
And the winner is, drum roll, Mary Calkins wins the Handy Camel.
Yay, Mary Calkins. Yay, congratulations. I think she sends in ads all the time, too, so that's good. And now, also, a Redmond Equine prize pack. Everybody knows Redmond Rock. I just saw one of our hosts, Karen Chatton of the Endurance episode, said she put a couple Redmond Rocks on a rope in her stalls, her Arabian stalls, and she has a camera, Jamie, where she can watch the stalls all the time, and she says she's always watching them at night, and she said they must lick that thing for an hour at a time. She said she came out the next morning and it was smooth. The horses just love the Redmond Rocks. There's 60 different minerals. It's not just salt. So it's really good for the horses. Everybody knows Redmond Equine. Well, they send out a prize pack. It weighs about 50 pounds. And you're going to love what you get from Redmond Equine. And Jennifer is going to tell, again, the same numbers, right? Jennifer, 1 and 2, 10?
Same numbers, yep.
Okay, very good.
17.
17.
Yeah, 17.
The winner is Laura Berry. Woohoo!
Laura Berry. Congratulations, Laura. Your ponies are going to love that. All right, good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Jaden. We really appreciate you being here. Say hi to Lisa, and we'll talk to her a little bit later in the month.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it, and it'll be great to talk to you again, and I look forward to listening to the show.
Jaden Terrell, it's spelled T-E-R-R-E-L-L. So you can find her at jadenterrell.com or on Amazon or all the usual places where you find horsey books. All right, and we're going to have more prizes for this month that we're going to announce next week. So there's going to be some additional prizes because we just got back from Ada, and you know what happens when we get back from Ada. We always find good stuff to give away. So yes, that's going to happen next week. You want to, well, we're going to have a listener get us started, aren't we? So
yes, we are.
Let's have Avery get started here.
Hey, everyone. Warning, there are no periods in this. So here it goes. Painted gelding, $500 from Usk, Washington. Hello, I am selling my paint gelding. He is 16.5 hands, as in 16 and a half hands are 16.2. Paint, he is underweight from being segregated from the other horses that he was originally with in a herd. He is a rescue. He is a 10-year-old gelding. He halters and leads, and he rides, and I have never done roping, but he is a good trail horse. As I said, he is underweight, but not food aggressive at all. Currently, he is in the same pasture as two other horses and our goat, and they all get along great in there. He has been slowly gaining his weight back. He had his teeth floated 4 months ago, and he was dewormed 3 months ago. There's also no foundering. If you have any further questions, please feel free to ask. I do have some wiggle room in my price, and I am even open to trader. The first three photos are of him this spring at a healthy weight, and the last two was no with the correct pictures. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me in a PM. No need to have you correct the way I say things, and negativity is not needed.
How did you know? Like somebody's correct.
How did she know she was going to be on Really Bad Ads this Friday?
Oh, that's so funny. There was a couple times I wanted to like say something about the ad, but then it was moved on so quickly. Like, how skinny is that horse? Like, you said it 7 times, but then it was like there's so much going on. Yeah,
Avery, awesome. Well read. That's tough to read them. It's tough to read them without punctuation like that. You make it sound easy, but it's really tough to do. It really is. Good job, Avery. Good job. All right, Mary Calkins sent in an audio ad, but Jennifer tried it this morning and the sound kept cutting out, so we couldn't play it, Mary. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened with your recording, but the sound kept coming out. But we wanted to acknowledge that we got it, and we tried. Maybe
this is the Mary that won the Handy Camel, so she's fine. She's happy.
Yeah, she did.
Good day
today
for Mary. Yeah,
yeah. She doesn't care.
Except we don't get your ad. Mary, try again. Send it in.
You've still been entered for next month. So, all right, yes. Jessica Troop always finds good ones.
All right, this is called, the title is, The Ugliest Filly You've Ever Seen, for sale. This is Nashville, and for the love of God, please read the whole ad before you message, comment, or report me for animal abuse for calling her ugly. Nashville is what happens.
People are sensitive today writing these ads.
Facebook, man, everybody's on edge. Everybody's on edge. Nashville is what happens when you breed two horses that are both extremely well-bred and both gorgeous and assume the foal will be born the equine version of Jennifer Aniston. But instead, I crossed Matt Damon and Mila Kunis and got Richard Simmons. Sassy, talented, just not much on the eyes.
She wears little shorts.
You ever seen two really attractive people with like an ugly kid? I have. It's weird. You're like, wow, what happened there? It's like, or Luke, like two unattractive people make an attractive baby. It happens too. Although she is pretty when she runs, I won't torture you with what she looks like at a standstill. From a distance, the neighbors now think that I'm raising llamas. And although she moves like the next dressage lesson, eats like an elephant, and has legs that would challenge a baby giraffe, she looks like she hasn't seen a feed bag in months. Although my feed bill begs to differ. But really, with the 8 incredible horses found in her lineage, with the names of Dunn in a Twist, Poco Bueno, Doc Bar, Hollywood Dunnett, Tejant, Peppy, Genuine 007, Rooster, and more, she will most likely be the girl who plays Hermione Granger in Harry Potter. Real homely to start, and a knockout by the time she's legal.
That's kind of what happened there, actually, if you think about it.
I know. Someday she may grow into that car door of a head of hers. Her parents are both rock stars, but once again, breeding has proven to make us all out to know nothing. So here she stands, just a horse in front of you, asking for you to love her or put some cowboy mane magic tamer in her hair. That is the second week in a row that we've had a reference to the movie Notting Hill, and I love it. It makes me happy. I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. You don't know that line,
no,
but every other chick does.
Yeah.
All right, continuing on.
I knew the Harry Potter reference.
Of course you did. You knew that Hermione Granger.
Yeah, but it didn't have anything to do with Hermione Granger. No.
You probably know Mila Kunis and Richard Simmons too.
So yeah, I do Richard Simmons. Yeah, yeah.
She isn't a pocket pet, but will be gentle with time. She's smart, but far from friendly. She has the personality of Regina George, and you can't sit with her. You don't get that reference either.
No, how many references is getting one ad here?
It's just talking to somebody my age, Regina George from Mean Girls. She was horrible. And no, you can't sit with her. She is up to date on everything. 5 panel NN, DNA on file, papers in hand, $2,000. Funds will be used to bail out Zeke. And if you don't know who that is, you need some Zeke in your life.
I am feeling old in this ad.
That's great. That was great. Hold on.
All right, next one up. That, by the way, that was Jessica who sent that one in. Thank you, Jessica. Kayla, I think it's pronounced, sent the following one in. And also Mary, we got this from a couple different people. 10 to 12-year-old thoroughbred Dutch gelding, 15.2 hands in Frisco, Texas. Imagine that kid in school that was voted the most popular at the end of the year. The girls called him cute, told him their secrets, included him at their lunch table. Moms trusted him. Dads even liked him. He was everyone's homecoming date when the football player boyfriend did them wrong. He was the good for your guy. Or he was the good for you guy. Well, he grew up, got an entry-level position. Okay, the mailroom, but the guy's got to start somewhere. With a Fortune 500 company, with a great Let's Go Green policy, coaches Little League on the weekends, and fosters orphan kittens for the local shelter each spring. He is Mr. Reliable. Take that guy, put a few dozen black and white hairs on him, make him 15.2 hands of some kind of warm blood. He claims Dutch slash thoroughbred, but does not have papers to prove it. And you have Fleek. True, Fleek doesn't have a fancy education, but with the, when the chips are down, it's Fleek who is going to get you there. If you want a horse that comes equipped with a pee-off, passage, tempies, ulcers, potted flower, phobia, and an accent, please scroll to the next ad. If you want a horse that is handsome, sound, a fun horse to do some flat work and enjoy his cute jump, Fleek is your man. If you don't mind a bit of a project, Fleek will provide you many satisfying light bulb moments. The horse, $7,500. The brain, priceless. This is a way to take a horse that's not trained, that would go for $500 otherwise, and make it sound like a $7,500 horse. It's exactly
this is awesome.
This is.
I want him.
It really doesn't do anything. I mean, this horse doesn't do anything, but it's reliable. And you can train it for $7,500. It's a good ad.
Sorry, I missed most of it because I was having a 3-year-old with a temper tantrum.
Yeah. That was a
so
good
I'm
ad.
Back.
Trust me.
Okay, good.
Fleek does not have temper tantrums.
No, Fleek doesn't have temper tantrums. He's the reliable one, Mr. Reliable.
Well, Kendra sent in the next one.
I have to make a personal comment here before we go on. Before I thought it was a personal ad when it started. Yeah. The first half of this ad read like a personal ad. And I was this guy that you know, but I never got the benefits of being that guy in high school. So I just want to throw that in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. You thought you knew that guy.
I did.
I don't know what you're talking about because this ad says ISO in search of a female miniature horse, not too old, not too tall, not too crabby. Please PM me. Thanks.
I've met a lot of miniature horses that are not too tall and pretty crabby. So I can get what they're asking for there.
That's hard to find. Yeah. That's hard to find.
You do find a lot of like 80-year-old miniature horses, don't you? They seem to live forever.
Mm-hmm. The mean ones live forever.
That's right.
The good ones die young.
That's true.
Betty sent in the next one. Betty Faye. Then this is an ad called Ashton Kutcher. Kutcher. 4-year-old stud. Let me just go ahead and say geld that right now. $850, and this is in Colorado. 4-year-old, oh God. See, geld that right now. 4-year-old 15-hand grade stud. Good hooves, neat, fronts need trimmed. Coggins negative, microchipped, takes food from the hand, but has a 5-foot bubble, otherwise he is not trained. I have had him here for 3 months, and he's a very easy keeper. Yeah,
wait a minute. I have to go back to that last sentence. Does that mean that you cannot get within 5 feet unless you have food? He's going to kick the crap out of you. Is that what that means?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's exactly what that means. It's a sensible stallion. Yeah. He came from a Nebraska kill pen before making his way here. Loading may take some time. He was ran into my trailer when I picked him up. I have not loaded him from here yet. No kidding. You haven't even freaking touched him. Kutcher is looking to go on and prosper under the tutelage of a kind and wiser than his or her years up-and-coming young horse trainer. Someone who will pay a licensed vet to have him gelded, pay for his education, and nurture him through his formative years when he doesn't pay attention in class. Fidgets during, there's so many misspellings. I'm trying to do it justice, but I can't. So let me just go back.
Fidgets.
Pay for his education and nurture him through his formative years when he doesn't pay attention in class. Fidgets during quiet time and plays Ruhe with the other kids at recess. So they tried to be smart in this ad and then they just like.
They blew every spelling.
Didn't have spell check or something.
Let's geld the horse and then sell it. Let's do it in that order.
Yes, geld the thing. Yeah. Oh, bless its heart. There's too much. That's a good ad, Betty. Thank you very much.
And sent the following win. It's our horse trailer of the week. And I have to say, I have to admit, we have owned this horse trailer. This is a horse trailer that I think everybody with no money starting out has owned.
I remember that horse trailer.
This particular horse trailer, especially in that color.
It could be the same one.
Yeah, it could be.
You guys remember Nancy that you guys met at Rolex? This is her trailer.
It's a horse trailer, $400 out of New York. Horse trailer for sale or trade. Needs some work on ramp. Has new tires on good rims. Need gone. Make offer. And it's your typical two-horse rounded front trailer, but this one is a little longer. It actually has a little compartment in the front, and it's blue and silver, and everybody has seen this trailer. It had the spare tire on the front, but the problem with the spare tire on the front of the trailer, the little rack always rusted off into oblivion and the tire fell off, and then you never put it back, so you throw the tire in the back with the horses. This trailer, I'm telling you, the difficult part about this particular picture is it's advertising that it has new tires on good rims, but the tires are not on the trailer.
There's nothing on it. It's put up on bricks.
It's on bricks. I don't know where the tires are, but they are not on the trailer. Maybe you get the tires, but you have to put them on the trailer, or maybe these particular tires don't even fit the trailer.
This is like that two-horse square front trailer with like the kitchen window up front.
Yes.
1972. Yes. Era 1972. Yes. It was a hot item in 72.
It was. This was the trailer. I'm telling you, we've all owned this trailer.
Yeah. And if you peel back that rusty tetanus infested metal that's on the sides, you'll see that the top half of the horse trailer is no longer attached to the bottom
half
of the horse trailer.
And look at the ramp. Like, literally, it says there needs a little work. If you actually, the ramp is down and it's broken. Like, there's no ramp. It's collapsed. It's just a metal square. That is a nightmare.
And the ramp is down because it won't stay up.
My God, you're selling it for $400. You need to pay somebody to take
a scrap guy would be a good choice. I just love how they mention the new tires and they're not even on the trailer.
There's no tires. It's on bricks. That's so funny. Like, it looks like somebody literally stole the rim.
Yeah, it looks like they parked it in downtown LA and it got stripped.
Yeah, exactly. This is a Detroit trailer for sure. Somebody parked that downtown and was like, hey, let's get them rims. Oh, okay, that's funny. Sorry for our Detroit or Los Angeles pickup truck
in the middle of New York City. They're on some jacked up pickup truck.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry about all of our listeners in Detroit and LA. All right.
New York City.
Prince Teton Farm sent this one in. Prince Teton Farm, I don't know where you are, but if you're anywhere near the Tetons, I'm coming to visit you. All right. And they requested that I do this as the best teenager voice that I have. I will do my best. Hey! I'm totally
You can just quit
selling...
there.
Hey, y'all. I'm totally selling my horse Corona. And I really, really want her to go to a totally great home. Corona's a Mustang quarter horse. And Corona is 2 years old. Corona is totally very intelligent and totally loving. And she was my second horse I've ever had. And she's she's done really good for me. Corona is an exceptional horse and I love her to death, but I don't have time for her anymore. So that's why I'm selling her. And I will sell Corona 300. I've had little kids ride Corona. Corona just needs a little bit more work. And if you contact me, if you're totally interested, no horse slaughters or nothing like that. And no ads, only serious inquiries and please and thank you. I will Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or WhatsApp you if you want to see any more pictures, because I totally think that even though Corona's only two, she has been ridden by little kids and she's totally perfect and she's only $300, but no slaughterhouses, because that would be totally awful. I don't want to wake up in the morning and wonder what happened to Corona and know that she's on a train to Mexico. I don't want that to happen. So she's a Mustang quarter horse. And I think it's a totally acceptable thing.
Jamie, we have to end the show at some point
to breed Mustangs.
By the way, we ran out of ad about 2 minutes ago. She's just been... That's been Jamie's little
Mustang
addition to the ad. By the way, what is the horse's name? I didn't get it.
Sorry.
You know, it is a great idea to name, you know how we name all our horses after Muppets? I wonder if there's people out there that name all their horses after beer.
Corona? My chickens are all named after beer for a long time.
Oh, were they? Yeah? You ran out
Stella,
of beers? Or
Corona, Guinness. Oh, it kept going.
Do you even name your chickens anymore, or are they just numbered?
All the ones that look the same have the same name.
That's perfect. That works out well. All right. I think we have time for one more. We'll have to save the rest for next week. All right. Adrian. I always love that name. Adrian sent this one in. I want your devil pony. $1 in Glen Rose, Texas. What is it with Texas
today? This is got your name on it, Glenn. Yeah. Send your little devil pony
over. I'll send my devil pony over. Don't worry. I'll post a video of that rank little sucker in the comments, because you all know that you want to see it. So here's the dealio. When I was in Oklahoma, we bought a spoiled, rank, satanic little horse that... When I was in Oklahoma, we bought all the spoiled, rank, satanic little horses we could find, and we started bucking them for local kids to practice on.
What?
I haven't read this ad before. Well, we've been asked to do it again in Texas, and God knows I'm in for putting on practice pens for the kids. So we need about 10 more ponies to get this underway. So here is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for your ankle-biting, crack-in-half, pray-to-sweet-baby-infant-Jesus-before-you-halter-it pony. The type of pony you fear. The type of pony that's so counterfeit you want it lying to the feds for you. We are looking for your tiny beasts. Here's some facts for you. No, we don't want your Arabian quarter pony that you've ruined with your attempt at Pirelli. I'm sorry. We are looking at 12 hands max. We are trying to buck out ponies, not kill off children. We also will not give you over sale barn price for your pony known to buck. I mean, really, don't pull that on us. Many of the ponies we have were dropped off at our house because people wanted them to go where no one would sell their little devil spawn to as a kid pony ever. We don't want to drive to Indiana for a $100 pony. All sexes are welcome, geldings, mares, and if it's a stud, know it will have its manhood removed before we pull off your property. Well, look at that, Jamie. Yes, our ponies are cared for, and they live in a wonderful pen with other like-minded ponies with free choice feed and shelter. So if you have a pony that fits our bill, you know where to find me.
In Rose, Texas.
They're doing bucking ponies to teach kids how to be rodeo riders.
I don't understand why that would happen.
Okay,
but
I want to know the last line that says, it's a wonderful pen with other like-minded ponies. You have just put 12 Satan ponies in a pen together. I am guessing that that's going to not end well for some of them. I don't care how much food you have in there. It's not going to end well for some of those ponies. Can you imagine Scooter in a pen with other ponies like Scooter? Oh, my God.
There'd be dead ponies
yes,
everywhere.
Exactly. That's a bad ad. That was a bad ad right there. Not sure. I guess you got to teach the kids how to ride those bucking ponies sometime.
Promote rodeo, baby. Got to start them young.
They did not want any Pirelli ponies. You know that that's happened before, and that's why they put it in here. I don't know what that was about.
I can't get two eyes to look at me while I'm lunging it, so I need to sell it. Don't get me started.
Thank you for Adrienne for sending that in. And we have some ads we didn't get to today because we've had so much fun. It was author day. Turned out to be author day on the show here today. What a bunch
of We just didn't realize it ahead of time. Even though they were all scheduled to come on the show, we did not name it that until now when we realized
that
they were all authors.
That would insinuate that either one of us pays attention in the pre-show meeting. That's what that would insinuate.
This is true. Yeah. Poor Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer, I do want Chelsea's ad and Ellen's ad in next week. Let's put that in next week because it's just that good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So we'll add those in next week. Thank you, everybody, and congratulations to the winner, Mary Calkins and Laura Berry, both won. And we'll have a bunch of prizes for you this month. We'll introduce some new ones next week, as well as the ones that we talked about today. Go take a listen, if you have some time this weekend, to Craft Lit, a podcast about having fun with classic literature. And I guarantee you, Jamie will be coming up with one to read here shortly.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Have you ever played Donkey Kong?
I'm yes, I have. Okay. It's a classic remake.
Okay. Just checking. Just checking. All right, we'll be back, everybody, on Monday. Have a terrific weekend. Enjoy your horses. Have fun out there. Be safe. Talk to you later.
Spay neuter geld. Sorry, I got a 3-year-old.
Live listeners, if you missed the beginning of the show, go back and listen to the podcast. Sorry about that.